Rolling. Mic check, mic check. 1, 2, 1, 2. What it do? What's up? What's happening? It's your boy Mako with the fucking Draco Wild and God. And Toby, what can know? We back with your 32nd episode of the fucking Shark Stream.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Coming to you live. Cinco de Mayo. Here to raise hell. Doing what we gotta fucking do. How y'all boys feeling? Yeah. Taco pack on the way. Yeah. Yeah.
Chilling. Rodney Twin Tweezy is at the Hawks game.
At the Hawks game, live. Yes, sir.
Enjoying himself.
It's cool how the symmetry works. We went to the Hawks game
Monday?
Monday. Yes. He went tonight.
Saw the Blazers and the Hawks, yeah. And you know the Hawks pulled through.
There
was no damn time.
Not in fact.
It used to be every time I went to a Hawks game, it was the opposite of said thing. I'd go to Hawks games and they lose all the time. But now it feels like every time I go to a Hawks game, now that I'm going to see whoever they're playing against, and whoever they're playing against normally loses. I feel like if I remember the last game that I went to go see, it was either the Trailblazers. I went to go see the Wizards play the last time, mm-hmm. and then John Wall got fouled out the game in like this third quarter or some shit like that, and Bradley Beal was just, I don't think he was playing that game.
I don't think I've ever been to a Hawks game.
That's crazy.
Been to plenty of Falcons games and they lost.
No, yeah, that's just tradition. Yeah,
that's tradition. Been to a couple Bears games and it's gone either way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever been to a Hawks game and they lost, so yeah, maybe I need to go to more games.
I think the last Hawks game they played maybe the Celtics, mm-hmm. and I think every time I've... At most Atlanta sports I go to, they lose. Sure. And so it's really eye-opening and new for different me to see the Hawks win in person.
Hawks win in person is great.
Shout out to the Hawks, shout out to Trae Young.
The last Hawks game I went to was when they played the Heat.
Yeah.
That was when I was in the suite. Shout out to Nick. And that was when Trae dropped 50 on the Heat.
Oh, that's crazy.
And when he broke Iggy, the half and pulled up from like right there.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that live.
Yes, yeah. Wow. I feel like I've never gotten to see like the Hawks. Like, I just be wanting to see a good game. And I think the last game we went to wasn't good, but I thought I was going to see more like of Damian Lillard.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a little bit closer, but mm-hmm. you know,
yeah,
they were going to be a lot more high scoring. Than those teams.
I think the Trailblazers were just fatigued, to be completely honest, because they had been on a four game
win streak. They were playing games back to back. They just came from a win against the Celtics, I believe. Yeah.
So speaking of which, what do y'all feel about the play-in tournament this week? I know LeBron James came out and said something, and Mark Cuban has come out and said something.
Yeah, Luka's complaining about it a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I personally love the play-in tournament, and I love it for this specific reason. But Monty Jones said this best when Luka complained about it a couple weeks ago, because Luka was like, I don't even know like why they tried this or like why they're doing it. And Bomani was like, Luka, before the season started, you were a touted MVP favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And your team at that time was like 7th or 6th in the seeding, which means you were fighting to either be in the play-in or avoid it. So the NBA is doing this because there is nothing more that they would want than to be able to get like 2 weeks of ads running with Luka Doncic's face in a NCAA professional-style March Madness. Like, there is nothing more. And you can add Steph Curry. And now potentially LeBron James.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The NBA absolutely loves that. But from a non-marketing standpoint, I just like it because we're like 7 games left in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still very much intrigued in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the last time it's been like this.
My only thing about it is I like the play-in tournament, but I think we talked about this last week before the cast. I don't like the construct that they do 7, 8, 9, and 10. I feel like if it was 8, 9, and 10, then I'd feel a lot more pro about it. But it's the fact that, like, I don't know.
I like you putting 7 in there.
I don't know, man. Like, I get it, but I don't know. I feel like if you are, like, 6 seed certified is, like, and then those other two teams, like, hypothetically, if LeBron is in 7th, do you think they're going to be in the 7th, 8th seed? If they are in the 7th, 8th seed...
I mean, like, it's possible, but
and so they're basically taking the 7 and 8, and then they're
so going to 7 the plays there, right? 8. Yeah. Winner becomes 8th seed. Loser plays winner of 9 and 10. Winner of that game becomes 8th seed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do understand the sentiment of liking that they have the 7 in there,
mm-hmm.
especially like just basically saying like this spot is solidifying that, you know, these people are. you know, in this spot for a reason, or if it's a fluke, then they won't make it. But I don't know. I think maybe 8, 9, and 10 would be what I would probably prefer, only because of the fact that, like, it gives the 9 and 10 to get into the playoffs, and it only allows like one team to get eliminated, right? Instead of two.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. And right now, let me look at the standings. What are you about to say?
I think that's how it was in the bubble last year.
Yeah, that's how that was perfect.
I don't think two teams can get eliminated though.
No, two teams. If it's eight.
No, because seven. Whoever is in 7 and 8, one of them is still in the playoffs.
Yeah,
like if you're a top 17.
Not necessarily eliminated, but like your spot is not solidified.
Yeah, like basically, yeah.
Be better.
There's two spots that are solidified.
It's right now the standings are the Trailblazers, Warriors, Grizzlies, and Spurs. Warriors would probably beat the Trailblazers, and they'd be seventh. Trailblazers.
That's the other thing about it. Like it's a one.
If he's not right
thing.
Now, yeah. Already
mm-hmm. It's a one game thing. That's the thing I like about it. But like. The real reason I like it is because, like, look at the way the Wizards are playing right now over the last couple of weeks.
See what the Eastern Conference.
And they're 10th right now.
And you get to see them potentially.
You get to see them, like, they got, I think, 7 games left, right? And they are, what is this? They are 2 games back of the Hornets for the 8th seed. So in the regular thing, they would have to, of these 7 games, they would have to basically, I don't know who has a tiebreaker, so they would have to win 3 and the Hornets would have to lose 3 of these next 7 games, right? And it's like, it's possible, but the run that the Warriors have come on now, like, if they win 3, but the Charlotte wins 4, and then they still miss it, and then Charlotte just goes and gets whooped because they're young and inexperienced by the Sixers or the Nets.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, so ways. But if the Wizards come in with Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook, and let's say the Nets take over the first season, right? Mm-hmm. And now you got Russ versus KD and Harden, who chose Kyrie over him. Mm-hmm. It's all the storylines. But I also just go back to the bubble last year where it was.
Storylines are important.
8, 9, and 10. Mm-hmm. And the Suns won 8 in a row in the bubble.
Dude, that shit was painful to watch.
And they literally because of tiebreakers, they didn't make it in. Because they needed one more game. Mm-hmm. And it was like, but you would have loved to see that Suns, even though they would have faced the same fate that, who was it, the Blazers faced to the Lakers in the first round?
Yeah.
It still was like, you kind of wanted to see them get rewarded and make the playoffs. That's why I like the it's 7, 8, 9, and 10. Because it's like, oh, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Because specifically looking at the East, like, I can look at both conferences and say there are 7 playoff teams in each conference. Mm-hmm. The top 7 are the playoff teams in the East Conference. And then in the East, I look at the Hornets and the Pacers, and I'm like,
I do not want to see the Pacers do anything.
Neither of you guys deserve to really be in the playoffs.
It'll be cool to watch LaMelo make it to the playoffs on his first attempt. But, yeah, them playing the fucking – that's the Eastern Conference, though. Like, but actually, no, you're right. Because the only team that I could see – the Knicks have been spazzing. Who are the Knicks going to – the Knicks would play –
the Knicks would play the Hawks if it ended right now.
Oh, dude, that's great. Yeah, let me see that.
That would be great.
Let me see that. And then let me see the Bucks and the Heat.
But
yeah.
I need the Nuggets to win tonight and the Hawks to win so we can move closer to that fourth.
I don't know. What is it? Oh, yeah, the home court advantage. Yeah. I don't really think it matters. I mean, I feel like if the Hawks and Knicks play, the Hawks are going to win and then they're going to take on the winner of the Bucks and the Heat, which will be good for the Hawks because they're not – I don't see them beating the Bucks. They could potentially beat the Heat, but I don't see them beating the Bucks. It would be cool to see them make it to the – they would be in the
second round.
It
would be 1-8.
Yeah.
It's 1-8, 2-7, 3-6, 4-5. And then it's 1 against the winner of 4-5, 2 against the winner of 3-6.
Yeah.
That's the regular one. The play-in tournament, you know.
Yeah. But it would be interesting to see that. Because I'm happy to see at least they're a playoff team. Because it's, I mean, I don't know.
I said they were a playoff team from the jump.
Yeah, I
didn't believe it at a point in the season. And,
no,
and,
I feel like they were
still. But shout out to Nate McMillan.
Like, I feel like, of course, it'll be great to see the Hawks be able to ascend to that point where it's like, oh, yeah, they'll win the championship. But I don't know. At least they're excited to watch now. At least you're not like going to the games like, yeah.
Yeah, they'll definitely be in the playoffs and make
Hawks a statement.
A statement, definitely. But, yeah.
Because the Hawks had up until we had to rebuild. Yeah.
I like their growth.
Yeah. Up until we had to rebuild, we had the second longest playoff streak behind the Spurs. Mm-hmm. And then the Pacers were like right behind us.
Every year you could depend on the Hawks.
Yeah, the Hawks would be in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's just the trials and tribulations of being a Hawks fan is a little different. No, it's a little different than other Atlanta teams. Like, yeah, actually, I mean, the Braves have reached the pinnacle. Mm-hmm. The Falcons are just... The Hawks are... But the Hawks, whether it was like the 80s, the 2000s, or even now...
good teams, yeah.
We've always had good teams, but we've also just faced all-time greats, right? Mm-hmm. Like... or all-time great teams. It was the Celtics in the early 2000s and the Celtics in the 80s. But the Celtics in the 80s had Bird, Mikal, Parrish, Ainge. They had all of them. And then we faced the big three, pushed them to seven games. We're going to game seven. Shout out to Zaza. In the late 2000s and then in the 2010s, we just fucking faced LeBron. So
yeah, I'm about to say, yeah, you can't, not that you can't do it, you can't, like, I remember watching that, you guys remember when LeBron James, I think they put it on Twitter today, but I was thinking about this a few days ago, remember when LeBron James put in, literally came down the court against the Raptors and just, like, tossed the ball in the fucking net, basically, and was like, yeah.
I think,
it's like, because that
yesterday
thing,
yesterday was the anniversary of that, or something
I think they didn't even have home court advantage, it was just, like, that's why I was even saying now, as far as the playoffs and stuff go, even with LeBron, is like, people are like, yeah, I'm like, bro, you can never count LeBron. Like, LeBron slick does his damn near every season. They have some form of slide or something goes on. This is the first time he's been
injured. This is the first time he's been, like, an injury
yeah,
like that.
But
yeah,
still, like, they have some kind of, like, slide or something going on.
Because he coasts through the regular season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Especially, but I think that, like, specifically in the latter half, people, I remember this being conversation. This is a conversation a lot. Niggas... over the past years, I remember when he was on Cleveland and he took that team to the fucking finals and it got swept. I think everybody was like, this nigga's not going to the finals. That was his shakiest year. But it was still like, bro, this nigga was still dominating and doing like crazy shit when he got like, it's coming off an injury.
The best player out there.
Yeah, and he has actual help. Like, he's got, I think Anthony Davis, we've talked about this a few times, I think he's a great B-roll player. And having Drummond like solidifies that defense, at least interior. Hopefully Schroeder comes back, and then you got KCP. You don't have Danny Green taking, like, shots at your 50, like, 45, 65, 55 percentage. If they're going to – yeah, if he loses – if he's wide open, it's like a loss of percentage. Danny Green works in the worst way where he's, like – if you antagonize Danny Green, he'll come back to the game and spaz. But, like, during the game process –
if you need Danny Green, it's like he's not there. Mm-hmm. And then he goes somewhere else, and then he just fucking spazzes. Like, he's been playing really well for Philly.
Yeah.
And it's just like, bro, you couldn't hit –
But noticeably, when I hear him playing well on Philly it's like I hear Danny Green play like shit, and then Danny Green will come back the next night. Like somebody will literally be like, "Nigga, you suck." And then he'll come back the next day and be like, "Oh." Okay.
That's pretty much been Danny Green's whole career. Even I mean, since the Spurs, like, because he was actually on those Cleveland teams with LeBron in 2008, 2009.
Yeah, the whole time though, not
every
just,
time.
Like,
yeah. He needs to unlock his inner Jordan.
Yeah,
like read the newspaper and just make shit up, and then go on and have a good game.
Yeah,
or read Twitter, I guess. And
this is a boomer thing.
Well, actually, on Twitter, you don't have to make shit up. No, like if you go on Twitter and you search, I got you, and you search him. Mm-hmm. Niggas gonna be talking shit.
Literally how we were talking about I meant to say this earlier. So you said something about storylines. I literally feel like the simulation
is a soap opera. The NBA is a soap opera.
Yeah, but I feel like the simulation does glitch for storylines regardless of like what they are. Like which is why I can see even when people talk about like black people and how like I've heard people make the argument for let's go into some fucking methodical place from basketball. I make the argument with people sometimes about like religion and God and stuff, and I'd be like, okay, well, what about slavery? Clink. Yes, clinking.
To a 5 day.
Yeah. 5 day. I've made the argument to a few people though. I was like, okay, well, what was God during slavery? And they've made the counter argument of, well, God did things. Not did things to black people, but God allowed certain things to happen to black people so we can in turn become stronger and be able to do some of the great, amazing things that we do. And I'd be like, all right, well, I can see that argument. I don't believe that argument. But that concept of like I could see that from the perspective I'm talking about, how we're talking about in basketball, where like literally narratives, you can see the fucking narratives, and it's so weird how they work and like make sense. But like, I think the most prevalent one would be LeBron James going against the Warriors with the 72. They went 73-9 record, and with Steph back to back MVP, all of these things. And then, yes, first unanimous MVP, and then the year before, losing against these niggas and shit, like the narrative was completely there, and they were up 3-1. And then it was, like, literally once they started coming back, I think when the game was 3-3, internally, I said to myself, I was like, they're going to win. And then I remember when I was watching the game, my stomach hurt because I'm a slow fucking Warriors fan, but I was like, dude, I just knew these niggas were going to fucking win, because I was like, the plot is all there.
And yeah, even when, the way he was just coming back, the momentum, mm-hmm. and then just the hype around it, and I was like, damn, this is really going to happen.
Like, the more that series went on, mm-hmm. like, I still, the Warriors are so weird in this.
Yeah.
Because it's like, as long as they have Steph, Klay, and Draymond, mm-hmm. they always have a chance.
Yeah.
And like, going through, I always felt like they could just hit a shot and it'd be over.
Yeah.
But LeBron was really Thanos, bro. He was really inevitable. Yeah. Like, it was really LeBron's gonna do this. Mm-hmm. It was like the further it went on, I was like, damn, LeBron's really gonna do this. Mm-hmm. But at the, and it was different from like any other time. Because mm-hmm. I still felt with the same amount of gumption that mm-hmm. the Warriors can still win. They can shoot themselves into any game.
Yeah.
Which is why I love Steph and Draymond in the play-in tournament.
And two more points. Like, one
story, Steph again.
I think both of them, no, not one, both of the Warriors. When the Warriors played the Raptors and they lost.
I felt the same way.
But that whole playoff series, I was like, bro, it has to go like this. I was like, I hate to see
Klay,
DeMarcus KD. Cousins, and Boogie. KD and Klay all go down, but like logically and rhythmically,
that was the only way to stop them.
Yeah, I was like, but rhythmically it made sense. I was like, bro, these niggas been dominating for like this long. They have literally the most incredible team ever. The only thing that can in fact stop them is injury.
Yeah,
and the fact that Kevin Durant came back in the game and then got injured, and then it was like, okay, they still had a chance. Yeah, it was like they could still. And then Klay tore his Achilles. It was like, oh damn, like literally, this is all like, yeah, it was like. That's kind of like written like that.
Yeah.
And then.
That's a storybook ending.
From Kawhi. And then the team that beat them, Kawhi just went to this team for a year.
Right.
To this team.
Jesus.
Kawhi just goes to this team for a year who everybody was like, oh, they could win. They might not win.
They're like, they were always there. Mm-hmm. They were...
Always a team that just needed something to push them over the edge. That's the same thing I felt about the Hawks.
Also, the perfect year of LeBron left that year.
Yeah,
And the Raptors were always the team where it was like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, the Hawks were like, damn, if you don't run into like a perennial all-time great, but like the Raptors were much closer to being to the finals than the Hawks were. And so, but it was like, damn, if you had somebody who could combat LeBron and then also be it the
just be like the, a just the be the A-plus player MVP on the team
from 2012 to 2019
mm-hmm.
either was LeBron or guarded LeBron. That's absolutely ridiculous. So LeBron leaves to go west. And nobody really expected the Raptors to be the favorite. Then they get the last guy who was like, oh, yeah, this guy is like a LeBron stopper. And it's like, damn, you kind of wonder if LeBron was still in Cleveland.
How that
would they
gone.
Still have made it. But just the storybook writing of LeBron leaves to go west, Kawhi comes east, and Kawhi's team trumps the Warriors. It was just...
And then the perfect fucking, parsley to that is... He goes to the Clippers, who just have bad energy. There's no other explanation for it. They just have bad energy. Vibes. They're not good. The vibes are bad. There's no way you play basketball in the same building as the fucking Lakers, and they're like the like just the greatest, and then you guys are actually like the worst. Not like the worst, but the worst.
Pretty close.
Yeah, goes to the fucking Clippers.
Are so accomplished, and you're just so disappointed.
Yes, bro. He goes to the fucking Clippers, gets sent home in the second round. Everybody was like, "Oh yeah, where's the conference finals? Easy."
It was like Lakers, Clippers, conference.
It might be Patrick Beverly. Yeah,
it was just so embarrassing.
It was so. And I don't know what it is.
Yeah, 14 points in Game 7.
Because, I don't know, dude. We could see the Suns. That's also funny to think about. But we could see the Suns in the finals this year. Like,
It depends on how healthy LeBron is.
It does depend on how healthy LeBron is. But also, they've been in a better rhythm. Like, that is like I know. Okay, and this is the only. There are two asterisks that I have next to that this year that I normally don't have next to LeBron. But we'll see. Normally, LeBron always does what he does regardless. But the two asterisks that I have is A, coming off an injury. B, that team hasn't had the proper time to like really gel yet since they've got Andre Drummond, I don't think. At least on court against like other people versus LeBron.
It's LeBron.
I mean, yeah, it's LeBron. It all comes down to LeBron. It all comes down to LeBron.
That's the other thing for it.
But Chris Paul and Devin Booker are looking disgusting. This is also Devin Booker's first time in the fucking playoffs. But at the same time, that team has been looking really good. I don't think it's a fluke that they go from. No. I don't think there's a fluke.
They're really going into the bubble. They're a really good team. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Monty Williams. He's a really good coach. Like, they wouldn't have been the one seed if they didn't get Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
But they would have been four or five or six. Like, they still would have been really good. They were on that.
Chris Paul makes every team he's been on better.
Yeah, they were on that upward trend, and then so Chris Paul just puts them over the top. But, Devin Booker has belonged in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
He's a scorer. Mm-hmm. Like he's a bucket getter, and so you just want to see him. I'm watching him now. want to see him win. Somebody though on Twitter said, "Oh man, Devin Booker never complained or asked for a trade clause," and I was like, he's 25.
Yeah.
And he just signed his first, like, real NBA contract. The Suns organization would have laughed him out of the front office if you asked for a trade. Mm-hmm. But it was like, you saw Devin Booker rise up to this, and it's great. And don't sleep on the Utah Jazz with Donovan Mitchell. I would love to see the Jazz and the
He's injured, Suns. Isn't he?
He's injured right now. Mm-hmm. But I would love to see the Suns and the Jazz in the conference finals. I highly doubt it's going to happen. Because the NBA is a soap opera, and soap operas care about ratings, and Suns and Jazz is just not going to get you the ratings that, like, Lakers and literally anybody would get you.
Yeah, Lakers are expensive. Or the Warriors.
Or the Warriors, but the Warriors are not plausible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
what if they were? They're not.
If the Warriors made the final, Steph Curry is the greatest player ever.
Could Klay Thompson come back, or is that not possible?
They're ruling it out. They wouldn't even do it.
Yeah. That's so painful. If they had Klay, then it's possible.
If the Warriors somehow made it to the second round, they would lock Klay up. Klay would not be able to show up to any. Because Bob Myers specifically in Klay, you can read his lips as they're walking back when they inform Klay that you got to take the free throws if you want to come back into the game.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Don't run back on defense." Mm-hmm. Klay makes two free throws and then runs back on defense on a torn ACL.
No.
Klay would suit up and play the game.
Yeah, he'd go all out too,
and it would just be bad. Mm-hmm. Like it would just be bad. Yeah. So yeah, no, but I mean,
that's so painful. I mean, it's not like they won't be back anytime soon because you always have
niggas like Bazemore, Miss Layup.
That's another team that now I'm like, bro, if y'all had one more piece, I could see y'all like winning the final. I can see them going to the finals with the three of them and like whoever we're going to put around them because that's still disgusting.
Andrew Wiggins has played really good for them. That would be really
good. Trade Wiggins and Oubre for somebody really good and then get a good
I could see you trading Oubre. I wouldn't trade Wiggins unless, like, the only way I'm giving up Wiggins. Yes, and I believe this Warriors team can actually win with Wiggins as your fourth best guy. Like, Wiggins doesn't have to be your one or two. Your one is Steph. No. Your two is Klay. Draymond gets everybody in order. Wiggins is just a guy who can play defense. He's a guy who can make open shots. He can guy who can put his head down. Unless I can trade him and the third overall pick and my draft pick for Kawhi, I don't see anybody else to move Wiggins who moves the needle. Or maybe Bradley Beal.
What?
But I don't see anybody else who really moves the needle like that for this Warriors team.
I disagree. I feel like if you move Andrew Wiggins and you get... I'm trying to think of a person right now. But I feel like if you move Andrew Wiggins and you get somebody, like, defensive-minded as a fourth person...
Andrew Wiggins has been their best defender.
I mean, he has, but he can't. Like, my thing is, like... I don't know. Defensive and can do a little bit more. I want, like, because Andrew Wiggins, he's the wig, man. They should, like, he'd be
Andrew
like,
Wiggins has played phenomenal this season. Have you watched the Warriors games?
I mean, yeah. But it might just be the ones that I've seen. It's not that he's bad overall. He's bad overall, but I don't feel like I could depend on him as much.
You don't have to.
I mean, yeah, if you have other people in front of him.
You don't have to depend on him.
That is an effect of everybody because Blake Griffin is playing 10 times better than he's playing on the
floor. Yeah, because you don't have to defend on him.
Yeah.
He got embarrassed by Giannis, though, last night.
He did.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
He's not known for his defense.
Toby Scooch is making Scooch over this way. Yeah. I don't know. That's insane. But all right.
Pass. What's the tacos?
What do you think TDE is dropping on Friday? I think
merch.
Just merch.
Like exclusively. I just feel as if Punch is a troll. All
right, I don't think Punch is that. I feel like if Punch is really trolling us like that, then we have the right to show up to his house with pitchforks.
Absolutely.
Was it not verified that it was going to be Isaiah's?
No.
We don't fully verify who it's going to be.
So this is the information that we have as of this far. Let me see. Do we have any? He's been posting as of recently.
I hope it's music. It better be music. Please drop music.
Yeah, if it's not, music is going to be really upsetting. But basically, it has to be music. So these were the clues that we got. No, not Punch. Top Dog. That's what I'm talking about. Top. So this is what Top Dog.
It's another video preview.
But yeah. It tells you where it's at.
Live video premiere,
gifts.
So my thing is,
yeah, is this a video?
Yeah, but I feel like it's gonna be an Isaiah Rashad single. I feel like it's gonna be an Isaiah Rashad single. If I had to guess, I feel like it's gonna be an Isaiah Rashad single, and then either next week or the week after that's gonna be an Isaiah Rashad drop. Isaiah Rashad posted something that said, "LOL, on my grandma's birthday too," or something like that.
Yeah,
and then people looked that stuff up and they were like, oh, his grandmother's birthday is on the 7th. Yeah. And then two or three months ago, Isaiah Rashad did confirm that my project is done. I just need the samples.
The detectives at Twitter Incorporated, you know, figured it out.
That's a Last Skywalker beat.
I'd fight somebody. But also, the cycle goes, I think I was talking to Toby about this or somebody else about this. I think I was talking about this.
Yeah.
He goes, Isaiah Rashad. And then it was Isaiah Rashad dropped the Suns Tyree, and then some months after that, Kendrick dropped Damn, and I believe a few months after that,
SZA Suns Tyree came out in September of 2016. Mm-hmm. Damn was April of 2017. Uh-huh. Control was June of 2017.
And then I think it was
actually Soul first. Soul dropped in early 2016, mm-hmm. SZA dropped. J-Rock dropped Redemption in 2018, and then Q dropped Crash in 2019.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's the cycle of stuff they're going on. So if that's the cycle, then you go back to Isaiah Rashad. It's been years. And what was the last thing? I think that was it. And I think it's just been, like, literally too long since they've, like, actually, like, dropped one of their, like, major artists that we've been, like, really, like, waiting on. Yeah. So if they don't drop, because I figured it wasn't an album, and niggas wanted it to be Kendrick so bad. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Kendrick, and I don't know.
I don't think it's gonna be Kendrick.
No, I don't think so either. Because I feel like you gotta, not that you have to do more, but I feel like there'd be like, I feel like Kendrick would just drop some shit, and then it'd be like, oh, okay, like I said, all those different.
I highly doubt he's gonna do like another Heart though, because the Heart only has 4 parts.
Mm-hmm.
So, I doubt you're gonna do like another the Heart series type of draw.
You can do a Heart part 5.
Like,
you can do that. Things come in 5 sometimes.
But I want to see the merch, though.
I do want to see the merch.
I'm interested in the merch.
I would be upset if it was only merch.
If it's only merch,
I have a problem.
I feel like it's probably Isaiah Rashad, man. I feel like they're going to shoot some shit. I don't know, man, because it's weird. Like, I don't know how large Isaiah Rashad's actual fan base is. Because I'd be thinking, but then I'd be like, oh, okay. But I don't know. A lot of people really fuck with this nigga. So, but Kendrick Lamar seems like he would be more of a person to have, like, some live video projected on the wall somewhere. You know? Maybe that's my perception. Either way.
It could be literally. It can still literally be anybody.
It could. If it was
it
anybody.
Could be anybody. Man.
It literally. Because it could even be SZA.
It could be so.
SZA's album, I think, has been done. Q said he was coming out with another album last year and he never dropped.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be J-Rock. He's been back in the studio posting. It could be Solo, who also hasn't dropped in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It could be Sir.
I do not want any of those people to drop.
It could be Reason.
I don't want him to drop either.
I know.
I'm sorry. You literally can only drop Kendrick, Isaiah Rashad, or SZA. That's it. If you drop anything else, I'm literally going to fight. And just show up wherever they are. And just
go Mack there. Walk could be leaving.
I don't care.
If it's Game not Freak could be coming back. It's really not. It could literally be anything.
It could be Zakari.
It could be Zakari. Yeah, it could be Zakari.
It could literally be anybody.
Whoa. Like,
KD might have the best roster out, though.
I mean, yeah, out. What is out? What does that even mean? What are these? J. Cole's also dropping. Me and Toby were talking about this earlier. If his album is not at least a 7 out of 10, I'm going to be highly disappointed.
I just don't want it to be another album with no features.
Yeah, that'll also be bad. If he doesn't have any features or if he produces all the beats, I will actually be highly upset.
I don't think he's going to go back. I don't think he's going to do
but, that. But, I mean, he keeps saying he's done with features, but it's just like, I mean...
Why?
I don't want to hear Kill Edward.
I like Kill Edward. At least I like him on that one track.
It's just like, dog.
I know heaven is a mind state. I've been a couple times.
No, I like it. It's just, it's so
that one track. Cheesy. Yeah, that one track.
It's just annoying, bro. It's like, I don't get what your problem with features are.
Let's see.
Still listen to it.
Oh, I love that fucking track. Let me see. Jay Cole. I feel like I'm gonna be that fucking psychotic man that looks like that just knows everybody's fucking.
That's what's it called? That's not part of that. Is it Windowpane? No.
Knows everybody's what?
It knows everybody's fucking zodiac signs and shit. But their moon signs and shit. His moon sign is a Taurus. I don't even know what the fuck that is. Like, I don't know. He's just fucking stubborn. But like
January 28th.
J. Cole, he's an Aquarius with a Taurus moon. That's really interesting.
I feel like he eventually learns.
Yeah. But he's very, like, stuck. Like, because we were talking about the concept of, like, he just doesn't like doing any features with anybody. And it's like, not that you need features. But I feel like only certain artists can pull that off properly. Kendrick is one of the artists that is an artist that I feel like can really do that well. But it's because
Kendrick is a collaborator, though.
Huh?
Kendrick is a collaborator, though.
Yeah, he does. If he's not rapping, if he doesn't have somebody like rapping,
he likes being involved and having
other people. Yeah, it influences definitely a lot of his personal stuff, and it helps him like gain this completion of individuality into his own projects.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I really enjoy Kendrick and you know, just study him.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was saying about like why I was like, yeah, if this nigga's like straight up, I'm gonna produce all the tracks and like rap solo on all the tracks. I'm like, bruh, no, like Kendrick is like a dope, super dope rapper. But he's like, all right, I'm gonna be like the dopest like rapper. I'm gonna help compose and do this and help where I can fucking help. But like, Thundercat is a much better composer than I'm a fucking composer. He's a much better, like, he's better with instruments than I'm better than I am with instruments. So I'm giving him my fucking vision, like, have him do what he's gonna fucking do. Not saying that you can't do these things and you can't have influence on these things. It's going to
people that specialize in certain things and putting your trust in them and putting your whole heart into them.
But it's also about knowing what you want to sound like. Because Tyler, the Creator, Kanye, they do the same thing.
Yeah,
like, they say, this is exactly what I want. And then they go and get the people who, like, can do it. And I said the same thing about Cole, because he sung all his features, and then for one of the songs at the BET Awards, he had like Daniel Caesar singing the hook, and I was like, bro, this hook sounds so much better with an actual singer. Like, imagine Power Trip if Cole was the one who sung the hook instead of Miguel. It's still the same song, but it's not nearly as good because you don't have somebody who can actually sing doing the vocals. You're doing the vocals off key.
It's one of the reasons why I really enjoy just watching and studying like audio engineers. Shout out to audio engineers like Mixed by Ali and the Guru. One of the things that I saw that they reiterated was just like mixing to the artist liking. Like, in one standpoint, it's like they come to you because they like your mixing style, but they also come to you because they know that you're gonna mix in the style that they prefer, or like, oh, I like this type of auto tune, or I like this much auto tune on my shit, so you know, I'm gonna make it sound like this. I know what they want. I know that if I want to like introduce some new ideas, I may introduce it. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's what the artist wants. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's all part of it.
Yeah, but I say, yeah, it's all a part of the fucking process. I mean, yeah, you know, we've talked about this a few times, like the concept that you don't even, like, I guess it's, I don't think J. Cole does this, but you don't per se mix your own stuff. You get other people to, like, do it because they'll listen to it differently than you'll be able to hear it. So, I don't know, all those things like, play a role, but I will be disappointed, in fact, if J. Cole's album is not really, really good.
You can be good by yourself, but you're great with other
people. Yeah. Same concept. Because I feel like I didn't, I feel like I didn't really enjoy particularly, I don't know if you talked about this last time, I didn't enjoy KOD like that. I liked it a lot at first, but then after time,
Definitely not a lasting factor.
It hasn't stood the test of time.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I really can't listen to it.
I can't listen to all of them. Like, you
know, yeah. I can go back. That's the thing. It's not that long. Like,
I think it's only like 50 minutes.
It's like 9 or 10 tracks, bro. Like, yeah. And a lot of them were in time. It's an LP. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you're literally like, because I know it's not that fucking long. I don't think it might be 50 minutes, maybe, but I think it's just because of that one track that's like maybe 8 or 9 minutes where he's like a. I don't know. He has a track on there that's long as shit in the middle of the fucking album. He's got like an interlude in it and every fucking thing. It's long as shit. But that and let me see. A lot of the songs, and even some of the songs that didn't age well. Like even the Lil Pump song, it's like I'm just lit in the moment, but it was still.
Your Brackets is the one about taxes and shit.
Yeah,
it's 12 songs. Mm-hmm. Won't tell me here. Brackets, it's the one that's kind of like it's the longest one, mm-hmm. but it's. Also doesn't really stand the test of time. Actually, I didn't think it stood the test of time.
When
I heard it.
Yeah.
There were a lot of songs on here that had great build up. Mm-hmm. Yes, 43 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then a terrible payoff.
Yeah, dude. Do you remember the song? What is the song?
The KOD, when he's like, the strongest drug of them all is love or something like that. I was like, bro, that is not deep.
No, it's not. Yo, it's not.
Times that's been used?
What is the name of the song?
This album was like...
No.
This album was like a good debut album for like a new artist.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, the song on here, Windowpane,
It gave me the message of like what do you really want to say, J. Cole?
Yeah, but he doesn't cohesively say.
Yeah,
I don't feel anything. Like on Windowpane is another like when you know like the strongest joke of all in love when he says it on KOD. On Windowpane, there's like he's talking about all this crazy shit, not crazy shit, but all the actual things that do affect the black community. I'm like, and he's like, I know you go through this and go through this and go through this as a black person, blah blah blah. But he said something like. It all roped around to like, you need to meditate. And I was like, nigga, what the fuck are you talking about, nigga? Meditate? I was like, don't medicate. I was like,
it sounds good, but when you actually think about what you said,
the application of what you're saying
is not like, that's it? You went through everything that can go on, and that's what you came up with?
Because I feel like KOD stands for 3 different things, and I don't feel like he delivered. On any of the things, like it's kings on drugs, kids on drugs, king overdose, and kill our demons. I don't feel like he really did the kill. He definitely didn't.
On first listen, I was like, oh, okay,
yeah,
I get the concept and I get the themes. And then as I listened to it more and more, I was like, all right, I was like, it's very surface level.
Yeah. Yes. Shout outs to Shalani. I was just telling her, I think the hallmark or a mark. Of anything, I guess, classic or even as far as it relates to movies, is the fact of like, with music is a little bit different. I mean, you can still do this. Music is a little bit different, but it's the difference between like shock factor and like something actually good and that makes you return to it. For example, have you watched Game of Thrones? Mm-hmm. Are you ever gonna watch Game of Thrones?
Probably not.
Okay, you watch Game of Thrones. The difference is like in the beginning of the first season of Game of Thrones when Ned Stark dies.
beautiful first season, beautiful amazing. Entry into the mm-hmm. The show, mm-hmm. and yeah, that was just a drastic moment. Mm-hmm. It actually made me like stop watching it for like a couple weeks because I was just so sad.
But the fact that like, so this is the thing: you watch it the first time, not knowing what the fuck is going on, and then you see what the fuck is going on. It's like, damn. But if you watch it a second time, it's still good, but now it's still good, and you know it's good because you've even taken in the context, like, damn, this nigga's really gonna fucking die. He's gonna get beheaded. And you know the things that lead up to X, Y, and Z happening. So it's like, but that's one of the marks of like even something that makes a good show or even a good movie, when you can watch something and be like, oh damn, I don't know what's happening, and then I watched it the second time and I do know what's happening, but it's still extremely intriguing and still really good. And I think it's the same thing with music. Like, I think
that's why I like watching things the second time, or like mm-hmm. hearing things or going through things the second time, because mm-hmm. you see and hear different things. You mm-hmm. pick up on things differently, and yeah, you just catch different things. You interpret things. Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
And it becomes easier. I think I talked to, who did I talk to? I was riding with somebody and we were talking about the Pimp and Butterfly. I don't think it was you. Was it you? No? Were we talking about the Pimp and Butterfly?
We talked about, I remember when we were coming back from Ronnie's party, we talked specifically about institutionalized.
No. I was riding.
But we haven't talked about To Pimp a Butterfly like that in a minute.
I was riding with somebody and we were talking about To Pimp a Butterfly, but I think what we were talking about specifically was they said that they hadn't listened to it all the way through.
That definitely wasn't me.
Because basically, like, it was harder, which makes sense, but they were like, it was harder for them to, like, they probably got through. I'm gonna remember who it was, but it was Stacey. I was talking to Stacey about it. Stacey was like, he loves Damn and he loves Kendrick, but he hadn't listened to the Pimp a Butterfly. He hadn't listened to the Pimp a Butterfly all the way through, and he keeps getting the 7 tracks because he has to be able to listen to it. He has to be able to listen to an album all the way through to completely like digest it, and he hasn't done that with the album yet. But the songs that he hears us play a lot, he really does like fuck with them. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, because you have to. We talk about it a lot, but just the concept of like, you got to listen to it one time and just eat it, and then you got to literally listen to it multiple times for it to like really sit in your system to understand what the fuck is going on. Because I don't know, with music, I think that's one of the reasons I think I love music and movies. Just music, and I can't say visual art, more specifically cinema, which I guess would incorporate in some way shows, movies and stuff, is because I feel like in ways they're just like the pinnacle of art. Like, mm-hmm. the things you can do with sounds is fucking incredible. And the things that you can literally show people, like, visually, like the, Toby, if you have a chance, have you watched Demon Slayer?
Yeah. But I haven't finished the first season yet.
Okay. I would recommend the movie. It's amazing, if you can. I would actually, like, talk about the movie on the fucking cast. I'll go see the movie fucking again. Movie's really fucking good, but one of the things I love so much about Demon Slayer, even about the show, and why I was like, okay, I kind of gotta go see the movie, is like the way they use their animation style is fucking insane, and the colors they use is literally like, I'd be watching the show and I'd be like, bruh, what the fuck am I even looking at right now? Like, the way they like animate the actual attacks, like, all that shit is fucking insane.
I was just talking to someone about, I think it was Sierra. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Sierra. She just had her graduation ceremony today, mm-hmm. so yeah.
Oh, that's fucking great. Yes.
Shout out to all the graduates.
Yeah, long time coming. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just the animation style of just different animes is just really cool, and mm-hmm. how you can just basically point out, like, just from seeing how the animation style is done, is like, okay, like, this anime is probably about to be fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shit. Mm-hmm. And, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, just from seeing Demon Slayer, like, you're just really, like, enticed and attracted to it initially. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that it has the substance mm-hmm. that it has to, you know, be a show in itself. And, mm-hmm. and it's really cool.
Mm-hmm. And another thing, I don't know, this is a great tangent. Another thing I really do love about Demon Slayer, even the show is, like, they were able to express this in the movie, even. It was like, there's not like a Dragon Ball Z kind of level of like power mm-hmm. level in the show. It's kind of like, nigga, can you hook or no? And then they're like, how do you use your like actual skills as far as the humans go? And as far as the demons go, it's kind of like, okay, how much can this nigga regenerate, and like, what all can this demon like survive through? So like,
and each one is just like they're cohesive in themselves, and it's just figuring out, you know, how to defeat
him. Yeah, like So that is another recommendation. I would recommend everybody go see the Demon Slayer movie. It's really fucking good. It's, I haven't seen all the anime movies that ever exist in all time, so I will say that. But of all the anime movies that I've seen, quite possibly the best. Akira is normally the one that I pick as, I think, the best, but I think because it's so dense, and it's one of the, it is a movie that takes multiple watchings, because there's just so much going on in Akira. But apparently there's a manga of Akira, and the manga of Akira is really fucking good, so I might read that, because it might be a little bit easier to understand, because Akira is fucking confusing. But like, nah, this shit's fucking crazy. Me and Stacey saw that shit, and I was on shrooms, so I don't think that fucking gauged as much of whether what my opinion of the movie was, because while I was watching, I was like, bro, no, this is crazy. Like I said, between the colors, and then like, bro, niggas hook. I'm not gonna hold you. I love seeing niggas hook, man. Niggas really get to hooking in like anime, and it's really animated well, to where like, I mean, we talked about this in like different types of movies, but sometimes you'll watch an action movie and it'd be like, bro, what happened? Like, I mean, it happens in Avengers movies sometimes. Like, the niggas would be fighting sometimes, and when it's not like the big spectacle scene where Thor like throws his hammer, some crazy shit happens. It'll be like a nigga will throw a punch, and it'll be like cut. Bro, niggas was just hooking, bro.
You don't actually get to see the fight.
Yeah, I think that's why I like Yasuke, because like, so the fighting scenes are there. It's like, it's pretty extensive, and like, you see like, it's really cool. Just the choreography of the fights and the animation of the fights.
That should be so fucking crazy. I have to watch. It's only like 6 episodes or something, right?
I believe so,
yeah. I have to watch that. I feel like I've been watching Attack on Titan over again with Solani to show her what the fuck is going on with that. Dude, shout outs to that fucking show. Shout outs to, I forgot the fucking internet name. But we were watching today. We went back over the episode where, do you remember when like Annie first appeared? And she just started like wiping niggas out. Bro, that whole transition, there's so many transitions of events that's just fucking crazy. That transition of events in that show was wild, because I think it was something like, how did they fucking, when she first rolled up, they were like, oh, it's a fucking abnormal Titan. And it was just a regular weird Titan that was just walking weird. Yeah. And it killed that nigga. And they were like, oh, all right, cool. And then in the distance, you see somebody literally, like, running up. Like, and then that whole, like, they were like, oh, damn, she's a regular, but we just gonna cut her down. And then she started doing shit, like, jumping and, like, throwing niggas, like, yo-yos and shit and doing crazy shit. That whole
thing. They realized she was different.
Oh, no.
She built different.
Yeah, bro. And it just got fucking crazier. But that's what I mean about, I guess, just, like, when you go back and watch something and it's still good after you go back and watch it, after having the initial shock value, it's just fucking crazy.
Yeah, I've been going back and watching like old, like just childhood cartoons, like Courage the Cowardly Dog. Like, I love that show so much. Shout out to Courage.
That still fits.
Yeah. It definitely does still fit with just the concepts. It's just crazy. And how they all tie it in the end.
Somebody said Courage the Cowardly Dog is a stand-in for, like, Courage is supposed to be, like, a kid, and, like, the world is, like, how a kid views, like, the world, if that makes sense, and, like, he goes through, like, a lot of trauma, and that's why he views the world in such a, like, scary, fucked up, dark place, but, like, in all actuality, that's how, like, kids would see, like, the world. Kid show. I mean,
And I just don't know if the shows are really that deep, or...
Some of them
people are. People are just making it up. Because they said the same thing about Rugrats. Like, Angelica was, like, schizophrenic or something like that.
Yeah, that is
they,
a theory.
They did that one for that. And then it was, like, one for another one.
They did one for Ed, Edd n Eddy and said all the kids were dead.
Yeah. They did the same thing for Fairly Odd Parents. They said something like Timmy broke the rule. It was, like, something happened to, like, his parents or something. And so he broke the, like, main fairy rule where you can't wish to be a kid forever. And basically wished to be a kid forever so he would never lose Cosmo and Wanda. Like, he lost his parents or something. It was, like, something like that. And I was like, just watch this show. Like, I just want to enjoy this show.
But some of them, like, so with the... some of them do make sense.
But for, I feel like I don't know, with Courage, I don't like just the fact that like the overall overarching theme of it is like just him always needing to go to his computer mm-hmm. to gain information, mm-hmm. and then like once he's getting this information, he tries to adapt and mm-hmm. then actually work on his problems and mm-hmm. tackle everything he like, just everything that went on mm-hmm. Or whatever within the show, mm-hmm. And just the fact that it like they're able to just add in different things, but him just tackling it the same way. It's just mm-hmm. I think the concept that.
Yeah. No, and it's very realistic, especially now. Like, yeah. It's ahead of its time. Mm-hmm. Like, people, you really can do that.
You want to call the police?
Yo, the computer be fucking spazzing on Curious the Cowardly Dog. I love that fucking computer.
Yeah. I saw a meme that said, what's his name?
Eustace Bag.
And Muriel. They said, yeah. I think I still have it. It was like, Eustace would tear up Muriel's guts. That's how he gets to talk to that dog like that.
Oh my gosh. Oh no. Mathematically. It makes sense.
I was like, yo guys.
He used to be spazzing. He'd literally be choking this fucking dog.
Yeah. He used to be pushing Muriel's shit back. That's why she let him talk to that dog like that.
That's awful. It's fucking old. Sad ass lady. Hilarious. She can barely see it. So fucking sad, man. Alright. What was talking? I'm talking number three.
Cinco de Mayo was the only other thing. We had the Cinco de Mayo. Shout out to Cinco de Mayo. This episode is brought to you by Corona.
It is.
Beer.
Ooh.
Not that Rona.
That Corona beer.
And Jose Cuervo with the mask.
We're gonna do it the right way, you know what I'm saying? Not to be disrespectful and
shout out the Mexican shop.
A little bit of history about Cinco de Mayo. Mm-hmm. It's mainly celebrated for the battle in Puebla, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just basically a celebration of how they defeated the French army at the time during the
it was
U.S.
the
war.
I don't know how during the Civil War on May 5th.
U.S. Civil War.
It was the U.S. Civil War. It was a U.S. Civil War.
Fuck the French, man.
Fuck the French.
Also,
and the Spaniards. Fuck them niggas.
One thing we have in common, the Haitian beat the French in the Haitian Revolution. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Shout out to Mexicans.
Shout out
to Haitians.
To my people.
They need the meme where you have the people shaking and it says, what's Mexicans, it? Haitians, mm-hmm. beating up on the French.
Literally.
Destroying the French. Need somebody get on that.
Yeah.
Need somebody to make that. Yeah. I would make it, but you know, niggas steal my memes.
So many fucking memes. I wish I was really... Well, I can't even say wish. I just need to get back into Photoshop because the memes that I would make for everything would be of a Koofy hat on every single thing that I ever...
Every time.
Like every single time.
Every time.
Like the Invincible.
Yes.
As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh yeah, that's about to be a meme.
Mm-hmm. Lemon Pepper Lewis Farrakhan.
Lemon Pepper Lewis Farrakhan. Bro, amazing. Yeah, dude. I don't know. I feel about Mexico is supposed to have like all of like Texas and like everything from Texas to like.
It's a lot of California. That land is their land.
It's literally theirs. It's what our barriers
is.
Our
land.
The thing, I was talking to somebody else about this concept. About evil. It's
just strictly evil.
Mm-hmm. I think I was talking to somebody else about this concept. You can like move and like go on where you want to go. It was like our barriers. All this shit is really just man-made constructs. Like all these barriers and fucking borders and shit. You can really go live anywhere. Like it's just kind of up to you to kind of like survive there. But you can really go live anywhere. It's really sad and fucked up. And even the concept of thinking the French is like the French were fighting for. Let me see. The French won that war, but they have control over Mexico. Is that how they work, or was that just that specific area?
Well, I mean, it's colonization, so it starts with like that specific area. Most revolutionary wars because the people of that land are sick of you colonizing, mm-hmm. and that's kind of like where the boiling point hits, and you stop it there. When they win.
So when they actually fucking win.
Yeah. Mm. Other than that, it's a failed attempt. But, yeah. I mean, like, pre-1900s.
This nigga's like, actually got Earth. A lot of water. That's really cool.
Makes sense. Mm. Pre-1900s, Earth is just, like, kind of weird.
Stay cool. Just break down the
boundaries. Like, niggas really just sent niggas on boats and was like, go take this land.
And like, that's what I mean, but like, without like, even any aspect of like how large the actual land actually
or
knowing is,
what's there, anything,
yeah,
just really sent like, folks yeah. over. Like, yeah, we want there's land over there, we want it. I mean, well, they would send out like I forget what they were called, essentially like scouts, I guess, to identify it, and then they would come back. And like, this shit would take like 8 months. And, like, they would still be like, oh, yeah, no, we want that. Go take that for
dude,
us.
Dude, like, even with, like, the Louisiana Purchase type shit, it's like, these niggas really sent, like, not even sent. They were like, yeah, all this from here to here is yours.
Yeah.
From Louisiana to California. Yeah. Going up in this direction, yeah, this is yours.
This is yours.
No. I don't even know how much they paid for this shit. It's like,
it was something, like, really, it was something that was large for the time, but, like, really small. But if you, you know, account for inflation, it's still a really big price. It was like $12, like, you know, it was like something like ridiculous like that. But
yeah,
if you account for inflation now, it's like a couple million or something like that, I guess. But
yeah, $12,
like $12,
yeah,
I
couldn't
buy a whole state for $12.
There wasn't even a whole state. It was like
it was from, more Louisiana, than a state.
From Louisiana. It was everything from Louisiana to California up to like Washington or some shit like that. And they had never seen. I don't think they had seen any of this shit. They were just like. Yeah, dude.
No, they just wanted to move west.
Yeah. Yeah. They were like, yeah, dude, so this basically belongs to us now.
Yeah, this is ours now.
And I think the French bought it. That, dude, I don't know.
The
why
French
am I giving myself a history lesson
or
right
something
now?
Like that.
Yeah, the French bought it, and that would make sense as to why the French and the actual Mexicans would fight for. Why does America. Because
some of that
really
area
like
used to be Mexico.
Saying Mexican is now racist. Yeah, dude.
It really does. It really, like, you really kind of feel as if you can't say anything. And not, like, I'm not trying to bash cancel culture. It's just, like, it's really, like, bro, if I say Mexicans,
I was talking,
do I sound white?
I was talking to Shalani yesterday, and she was like, we don't use the word diverse anymore. We use the word inclusive. And I was like,
damn, that is true.
And I was like, well, why? I was, she was like, because diverse makes certain people feel a certain type of way.
Yeah.
And I was like, but
you guys made up groups. How could you get mad about something
like,
you made up?
Different. I mean, that's the whole concept. It's diverse. It's different. But I don't know. Like, it was very interesting. So I was like, so there is. There's a complete possibility I could be talking to somebody and they'd be like, bro, you used the wrong term when you said diverse, and I'm very offended.
It's like they're putting race on words now.
Right. Yeah. Like on
certain
everything.
Word, yeah, I mean,
certain
everything
words
has
have a race.
It's very interesting how everything does, in fact, not everything, but a lot of things do, in fact, circle back around the race. When, in fact, race is a concept that was, like, genuinely just created by, like, race was a construct created by white people.
To further like, expand capitalism.
Excuse me. Was it capitalism or was it just like
capitalism doesn't work. Imperialism, but they all stem from the same thing. Capitalism,
yeah, yeah.
It wouldn't, and colonization wouldn't work if you don't have a way to differ.
Yeah.
Differentiate
people. It's the differentiating people. I think I said this. Like, separation of people is sound like a lower level sim. Like, if you... I can't even say it's a lower level something to do. I don't enjoy seeing people in. I don't even know exactly how to explain that. But separation actually works. If you just take all the water and separate it by droplets, then it can't be the ocean. It's just a bunch of fucking water droplets. And if you put all the water droplets together, it's like, oh damn, we can actually move and like do shit. So we talked about this a billion times. You create separation between people, and they can do. You can easily manipulate the masses by making them think they're
making them
individual.
Against each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what they tried to do to the black and Mexicans.
Yeah. Oh, dude, yes.
That's what they tried to do to the black and Asians. Just literally
everybody.
Everybody. Separate us.
You see what Michael Jai White said about like the whole.
Yeah.
No.
Stop Asian hate.
Yeah, he was basically not. He was basically like,
true.
He wasn't anti-stop Asian hate. He was just saying, like,
he just made
no
an astute observation.
Yeah, that there's no backlash against Stop Asian Hate, or why are y'all trying why to stop Asian
You know, there was no Stop All Hate or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we made that concept.
We talked about it too, when it came up. A couple
podcasts ago.
Yeah, where it was just like...
We understand the sentiment and we agree with it, but it's like at the same time there wasn't a response to stop Asian hate like there was to
Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. And it just shows you where we are as a country,
as a people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was a thing that I was thinking about, and it was also something that I had to check myself on, in a sense of how I addressed it, making sure that I wasn't coming from a state of animosity.
Yeah,
in a sense of like,
or envy or anything.
Like, it was like Dr. Umar Johnson said on the Breakfast Club.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about, you know, the Stop Asian Hate bill came up instantly. Like, Asian hate rose.
Yeah, it took one year for them to actually do something.
And Asian hate in America had been on a rise before COVID.
Really?
Because of COVID. You can't put anything past racist.
Because of the rhetoric of
The China virus, as the president, former president called it, it spiked during COVID. And so, like, a year they got the Stop Asian Hate bill. And I have no problem with that. But when you piece all the stuff together, don't act like you can't understand why black people are angry. We've been sitting here saying Black Lives Matter, and then it was immediately responded to with All Lives Matter and shit like that. Or, you know, we still fight for voting rights bills to be passed.
And it's specifically so they can just uphold the system and have everything set in place so they can benefit.
Right,
it's
so they can benefit.
It's either Black Lives or, you know... doing something for Asian people, the people that they coincide with, that they bring up, and despite you know, them not having the same cultural views as them, or you know,
right?
Mm-hmm. It's like next man up. Okay, so
whoever else is closer in identification to the white man, a spectrum we talk about all the time.
Yeah,
was ever closer in identification to the white man, you can reap the same benefits or similar benefits as the white man.
Mm-hmm.
But, or if you're, however you identify as or whatever, is inclusive to the white man, like white. The Hawks are on a 16-0 run in the fourth quarter against the Suns. That game's over. But what was I saying? You know,
inclusive to the white man.
White men fetishize Asian women. Derek Chauvin's wife was Asian.
White men fetishize everything.
Quavo. There are white trans people. There are white people in the LGBTQ community. And again, I have no problem with them getting their civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, we've been asking for you to just be civil.
We see how quick you can do it for them.
Right.
Do it quickly
for
us.
Do it quickly for us. They can literally do anything
they want. They don't want to collapse the system. They don't want equality.
Like Joe Biden.
They don't want equity.
Right, like Joe Biden, you signed an executive order for Stop Asian Hate.
Mm-hmm.
Why is there no executive order against lynching?
Yeah.
That, why not?
Anthony Edwards. We should make this a topic for next week, because I feel like...
Anthony Edwards is disgusting.
Yeah. When is the season in?
Most teams have 7 games left, so I would say we got about 10 days.
10 days? That doesn't make sense.
Maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't LaMelo Ball's out of running to be Rookie of the Year, right?
Why not?
I think LaMelo is still the front runner, but I think because he missed so much time and how Anthony Edwards came up, I think it's going to be a lot closer than people thought it was about.
Yeah,
because
he's back, isn't he?
He's back now, and that's why I think he's still the
front
runner.
He's literally like, I don't know how some of these point guards be seeing these passes, but for him to be 19 and just be like, oh, look, I think it's out court, and just throw the ball in the air. And
he's
then
fearless.
Get...
Yeah, he's I think bad. That's like half of it. He's fearless.
He'd just be throwing that shit,
he'll
bro.
Just throw it.
He'd literally be slicing that shit through the air. Did you see the pass yesterday where he threw that shit? It literally cut through the air. He lasered that shit to somebody in the paint. I was like, bro, how do you, in fact, I don't know, bro. Like, that nigga's actually really fucking amazing. But, I don't I don't know. It's either him or Anthony Edwards, of course. But yeah, I was saying, even when, like, when I felt like, what's that nigga's name?
James Wiseman?
No. Joel Embiid should have been, like, closer to MVP than Jokic.
I think he would have been if he did. I had Joel Embiid for the longest.
He wasn't even injured that long. He wasn't even injured that long.
It wasn't even before the injury. It was... Well, it was before the injury when Jokic started to take over for me. But then, as the Nuggets have gone off with Jamal Murray being down, that more so solidified it for Jokic. Because the MVP award is a narrative-based thing, too. And for you guys with the narratives, Chris Paul isn't in the MVP conversation. He's not in top three.
Chris Paul?
He's not in top three in the MVP conversation, like people want to make him out to be. Neither is Steph. But they're 4 and 5.
Who is 1, 2, and 3? Jokic,
Embiid, and who did I have it?
Giannis.
No, because the media has Giannis fatigue. You know, guys aren't gonna win it 3 years in a row like that anymore.
And that's what I mean in top three. I put Steph in there.
Steph had that really great run, and it usually goes to those really. Well, I'm talking about specifically the 11 games of 30 points. That's typically how the MVP kind of goes. Mm-hmm. You have that one significant stretch where it's like, oh, you're on. And that's why I think Jokic is the favorite. Because Jokic has been
consistent.
But he had that stretch earlier, and then Murray went down. And then he had the stretch in the last 10 games that they had, going like 8-2 or something like that. And playing better without Murray. And I think that's why, because it's narrative-based, he's the clear-cut favorite now. It's like, these other guys have a number two, not Steph. But Chris Paul is the, you know, got the Suns to number one, but their best player is still Devin Booker. That's the number one guy. Joel Embiid is the number one guy, but he still got Ben Simmons. With Murray going down, and even with Murray, he wasn't the bubble Murray for most of the season.
The bubble Murray.
100%. I was like, it was Jokic.
What was the name of that nigga that was spazzing in the bubble?
On which team?
I know who you're talking about.
He was on the Pacers.
DeMontis Sabonis?
No. It was the matchup against Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Bean Butler.
TJ Warren.
Yeah. I don't know what the fuck happened to that nigga. I don't even know what team he plays on. Is he still
on the Pacers? The Pacers are getting blown out right now by the Kings. So,
So whatever's up with that.
The players quit on the coach.
Well.
Yeah. I don't know. The irony that I'm about to wrap it up now and the tacos have just arrived.
Trying to get the tacos on
stream. Yeah, we tried to get the tacos on stream. But my stomach is...
Wait, I can buy time. Mother's Day is Sunday. Although by the time this comes out, Mother's Day will have passed. But shout out to moms.
Shout out to moms. Yeah, shout out to moms.
In a while. You're doing amazing, sweetie.
You guys are doing fucking incredible. I feel like every time Mother's Day comes,
and if you're Haitian, Haitian Mother's Day is the last Sunday of May. Shout out to all the Haitian mothers.
I did not know that. You're not fucking here every day.
Yes, sir. I'm getting it done. And to celebrate, we did a little, you know, stream shopping. Make sure we got a little food for us, you know what I'm saying?
So, rice, you know.
Hopefully, if you're watching this at home, chilling.
Tomato.
You got something to eat as well.
You can re-celebrate Cinco de Mayo with the stream.
Yep. I don't even know what that is. Some lettuce.
With the stream.
Some pico de gallo.
Honestly, we can keep this shit recording, and then you can put some, you know, Hispanic music.
Yeah, in the background.
Some free domain Hispanic music.
Yeah, you know. Celebrate the cultures.
We are inclusive. You know what I'm saying?
All inclusive. How you talking about? Grazie.
I don't want to say anything about the way I feel about Latino music, but not Latino music, but Mexican music.
I love Hispanic music. I have a couple friends who are Dominican.
Shout out to the Dominicans.
The music that we have.
remember playing soccer in middle school and going on those Saturdays to play, and they would have the tamales, fresh made tamales and everything on the sidelines. Oh damn, that thing was that good. It would be absolutely just like engulfing. Toxic.
Cheese, lettuce, tomatoes, rice, sour cream, beans, salsa.
I got beans, greens, tomatoes.
Let me get that sour cream first. So what are you doing at the Shark Stream, man?
All inclusive. We celebrate all everybody.
All inclusive. Just like the vacay.
We celebrate everybody. You dig what I'm saying?
We're not diverse anymore. We're inclusive.
Oh, man. These tacos are on the bus now.
Whatever goes through Kenny's brain. Like, I'd truly be wondering, like, because it's like, I'll be understanding and I don't be understanding at the same time. I'd be like, on one hand, you're insane, you know? So I can't really be like, why are you blasting? It'd be like 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday and Kenny would be downstairs screaming about Jesus. It's not as bad, but he'd be like screaming. He'd be like, Kenny, please. I mean, you know this. You can't really go down and say anything because it's like.
He was definitely catching the Holy Ghost when that day I came over. Mm-hmm. He was just outside, just yeah. Playing in the grass, in mm-hmm. the middle of the grass. Mm-hmm. Had his. His audio, mm-hmm. audio book, or you know, whatever he was listening to on blast, mm-hmm. he was enjoying himself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, bugs weren't, you know,
devouring
his soul. In fact,
so many things.
Yeah,
fucking party pack. Fucking this chicken looks and smells amazing.
All the rice from me.
No.
There you go. I'm gonna put some lettuce.
Yo.
Lettuce.
Yo.
I don't want your fucking lettuce.
Goddamn chicken got now.
Chicken. I heard about the no more flavored tobacco and then the
chicken shortage.
The chicken shortage, yeah.
I know something about banning backwoods.
Niggas breathing.
Welcome to the podcast, Shalani. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh no.
You're being interviewed right now. How are you feeling? Oh, no.
No, the podcast loves the guests.
She said, not like that.
Whoops.
Not doing that.
not doing that.
Oh, man. Are there, like, tomatoes? Oh, yeah, you got them. Oh, dude, this is a great idea. Yeah.
Oh, brother, this is amazing.
I'm outside in an MG.
Outside.
You guys ever feel like there are songs you don't listen to because the people around you listen to them, like, infinitely more?
Yes.
I feel that way about a few songs. I don't have any Roddy Ricch songs on my playlist, not because I don't like them, but people around love Roddy Ricch, so whatever happened, like, yeah, that's my friend.
You just hand that box to somebody, you'll hear it.
Mm-hmm.
I love tomatoes.
Mm. We had this conversation recently. The only reason I put them on here, to be honest, is because of the color. Like, I remember somebody saying a long time ago, like, your palate needs to have, like, what you're eating, and it's better if you can see, like, every type of color on your plate. Mm-hmm. That means you're getting mm-hmm. some type of way, every type of something. It's pretty good tacos. This is some good weed.
Well, I like it. Well, I like it.
Mm. For what?
I've said I like it. We probably end the podcast right now.
Oh, I didn't get my speech.
Still. All right, man. It's been a beautiful fucking stream.
You said fucking speech.
We love y'all. Back
into your tacos.
Thank y'all for tuning in. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Goddamn, goddamn.
Happy Revenge of the Fifth.
Revenge of the Fifth.
555.
May the Fourth be with you.
Yes.
Extra Toby Wan Kenobi vibes today.
Yes, man. We love y'all. Toby, the speech.
Instagram fucking sucks, bro. Like, this isn't a regular speech. This is just, like, extra because I just got a bone to pick. Mm-hmm. I posted that we were at the Hawks game Monday night. Shout out to the Hawks. And, like, 60 people watched my story, mm-hmm. which is cool. But I post a podcast every fucking week. And I never get 60 views. Mm. And the algorithm fucking sucks. I don't care about you seeing me at the Hawks game. Tune into the podcast. We're funny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And lit.
We're pretty great.
And mm-hmm. it's a great podcast. You would love it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Instagram.com/AstarStreamsPodcast. Mm-hmm. Twitter.com/AstarStreamsPodcast. Facebook.com/AstarStreamsPodcast. YouTube.com/AstarStreamsPodcast. Black Lives Matter. Mm. And SARS. Mm. Stop Asian Hate. Mm-hmm. Arrest the cops that killed Breonna.
All that shit. Mm.
Fuck Garrett Wolf or whatever.
Mm-hmm. All that shit.
Killed Rashad Brooks. Got his job back with back pay.
With back pay.
With back pay.
Just took a vacation. Wild. Literally took
Nigga
a vacation.
Just took a vacation.
Don't forget that.
Mm-hmm. Took a vacation. Got the money back. That's crazy.
That's important information.
Mm-hmm. We love y'all. Mm-hmm. Even though the cops don't love us. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Mexicans.
Yes, man. No racism behind that. All inclusivity here.